Polish. Welcome to the call-in day for May 2008. And this is going to be a very special call-in day for no other reason than it's today. And we've got Lisa Wagner and Dan Hollins on the line. And do we have an operator with us today?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay. Is this Don?
Yes.
Okay. Could you let everyone that's listening, all the shiny, happy people out there, know how to, what they need to press in order to ask a question so you can go retrieve them and let them ask us questions.
Okay. If you'd like to ask a question, please press *0, and I'll go ahead and click your name.
Okay, cool. Thank you. So *0. It's not like I can't do that stuff, but I'm thinking that for some reason you do it better than me, so I don't know. All right. So if you have a question, then go ahead and press *0, and we'll give it a few seconds here, and then we'll see who the first caller is. And in the meantime, Dan Hollins, we had a coaching call yesterday, and we talked about your report on local search engine optimization, among other things. And is there anything that you thought of that you think would be useful to talk about, share with anyone listening?
Well, I wish I had a great answer, but no, I'm just all ready to answer.
Okay, you're ready to answer. So that means, Lisa, you need to come up with some very serious words of wisdom right now and share it with the group. So what do you got for us, Lisa?
Words of wisdom, is that what you said?
Well, whatever, I don't care. You know, whatever. Something, say some
actually,
smart stuff.
Yesterday's call was fantastic, and I just want to encourage anyone who gets overwhelmed by the Internet and websites and Internet marketing that you don't have to learn everything. You can delegate that, and I would really highly recommend that they find somebody, even going to a local university or school, and get somebody who's studying in that field to literally hand Dan's report to and say, get this going, and then take it psychically off your mind load.
Awesome. Cool. All right, so operator, do we have any questions yet?
There's no questions at the moment, sir.
No questions? All right. Look. Let me say to everyone that's out there. What's that?
You can tackle Heather's questions because she emailed very detailed questions.
Okay, so what we'll do, Jeremy Hongslow, if Heather is not on the line yet, if she's not called in, if she'd like to, she can press *0. But I'm going to go through a list of questions that have been submitted by her. And for everyone listening, if you were not on the coaching call yesterday, then just to let you know, it had to do with the report that Dan Hollins wrote, which is phenomenal and lays out. What is the report, Dan? Instead of me explaining what the report is, why don't you? We did a very detailed call on it, and I have not only read that report before, but I even read it again yesterday before the call, and I was, just making sure I totally was familiar with all the great wisdom that's in that. Although it's a short report, it's like 20-something pages. It's filled with things that everyone can do that cost nothing to make them money and position themselves online. It had a lot to do with Internet marketing, and people that think that I don't want to learn about all this Internet marketing stuff, our message is basically, well, if you want to have access to a marketing tool that costs nothing, that makes a lot of money, and it's a new world, you even if you don't do the Internet stuff yourself, you at least want to have an operational understanding of it if you're going to delegate it to someone else, because if you don't, you're going to get people that are going to charge you too much money, not do things right, and it'll end up costing you more money than what even it costs to get education on it, like what we gave everyone a great education on. But you wrote this great report, and we originally released the first version, which I know you've updated and added some things to since the Super Conference. What is it for people out there?
Well, basically, it's this. If it's as if though someone came to me and said, look, I know that you did all the marketing for The Secret and you've done consulting with these big-name people and all of that, but I just have a small business or an entrepreneurial business, or a brick-and-mortar business maybe, and I don't have enough time to, read 100 books and attend, 50 seminars. If you could just boil down to me, like the top 10 things that if I just focused on these 10 things, it would help me to get better rankings in the search engines and be able to convert whatever traffic that comes my way, convert them so that they either pick up the phone and call me or give me their email address, somehow they interact. Tell me, Dan, what would those 10 things be? And so I put myself in the typical business owner's shoes, and I've run, businesses myself, so I certainly understand where you're coming from. And I said, here's the information that I would want to get Back before I knew all this stuff, this would be the kind of information I would want to get, so that even though, you know, you mentioned it's a short report, you know, it's like you can just take each strategy, which is presented in about maybe 2 pages, read it, and just go straight online without spending any money and implement it. And if you can't implement it yourself, there are plenty of people, as you've suggested, that can do it. But by and large, it's just entering text about your company in the proper places here and there on the web, so that it has meaning, to your marketing campaign, and ultimately meaning to the person that reads it, so that they'll convert into a potential customer. So that's what it is.
Gotcha. Excellent. And also, I failed to mention, I make this assumption that people know who you are that may have just been calling in on the call-in day for the first time. Dan created all of the internet marketing for the smash hit The Secret, the movie, which eventually became a book. And he doesn't work with The Secret anymore. And again, I always say that's a different story, which is kind of a funny story that I'll let Dan explain in detail at a later time. But he definitely, did everything in the beginning to launch what has become one of the biggest, self-help books, movies on the planet. And he works with Montel Williams and Jack Canfield and a slew of other people. I originally met Dan through Dean Graziosi when he was, and still does, helping Dean with a lot of his stuff. So anyway, Dan is one of the smartest internet marketers on the planet, and really makes things easy, simple to understand and to implement. So anyway, he is available for anyone here that would like to ask a question related to the internet, and hit him with any question. You will not stump him. He knows this stuff inside out, and he's a one-finger typer, which is even more amusing. So if you think you need to be some sort of genius with lots of schooling, he's a former music teacher that kind of figured all this stuff out with hunting and pecking with one finger. So that's a whole other strange, bizarre sort of behavior, but I don't want to talk about that. All right.
We do have Heather's questions here.
Yeah, so we're going to go through those first. And while we're answering these questions, if you do have a question for us on anything market-related, just press *0, and the operator will put you in the queue. And then when we're done with answering these questions, we'll answer your question. Okay. She wrote, great phone call today. Here are my questions, and this is a follow-up from our call yesterday. Is it better to have less or more keywords? Is too many keywords a bad thing? So, Dan, if you can answer that, but first define what is a keyword for people that didn't hear the call yesterday.
Okay. Whatever your customer types into that little search box at the top of Google or Yahoo Search or MSN Live Search, that is a keyword or a keyword phrase. And part of the game plan of marketing strategy is to try to figure out, literally learn how to read the minds of your customers and predict what they might type into those search boxes whenever they have a need for what it is that you offer. So a keyword can be one word, two words, three words. Generally, it's best to think of them, somewhere between 1 to 5 words. And another thing you hear about sometimes, and I'll define it as well, sometimes you hear people talking about long-tail keywords. And really what that means is that a lot of people, when they do searches, they type in sentences or questions. I think, Joe, you mentioned the other day, sometimes if you're looking for something, you'll just type in, how do I do this on my Macintosh computer, a full question. So the more words that someone types into the search box, that's the longer the tail is on that keyword phrase. And the reason that's important is because it's very competitive to try to get on the first page of a search engine result for a single keyword. Like, let's say you are a real estate agent. It would literally be almost impossible for you to get on the first page for the keyword real estate. Why? Because for the last 10 years, there's just been a million other people who have been optimizing and doing all the things necessary to get on that front page. And probably what you'd find there are some of the bigger name companies, maybe the Remaxes and the Coldwell Bankers of the world. So for you as an individual realtor, it would be very difficult to get there. But quite honestly, you wouldn't even want to be there, because a lot of times single word or generic keywords are so broad that it won't bring you the kind of customer that you're wanting anyway. Because think about it. If somebody types in real estate, you know, they could be looking for a farm. They could be looking for a training course to learn how to become a realtor. You know, they may not be looking for a home in your community. So those types of short single word keywords aren't necessarily the best. What generally is the best are the long tails. In other words, the more words a customer or a searcher types into that box, the more specific they're being about what it is that they're exactly looking for. So as you're thinking about, should I use one keyword or five keywords or whatever, what you want to try to do is to think of the things that your customers are thinking about, what they might type in, and I would actually focus on keywords that are three, four, and five words long, because it's going to be easier for you to get on the search results, first page search results for the long tail keywords than it is for the short tail keywords. However, even though I gave that long answer, I'm not sure that's exactly the question that Heather was asking. I think she wanted to know this. I think she wanted to know, well, Dan, should I just maybe find, you know, eight keywords or keyword phrases and just focus on those, or would it be better for me to get a list of like 50 keyword phrases and try to, you know, optimize my site for all 50 of these different keywords? And the answer to that is this. You can do as many as you want, but I found that 8 to 10 is about what most of us human beings can deal with, and yet still get everything else done in a day that we need to do. Because you need to optimize for one phrase at a time. So that would mean, let me give you an example, because sometimes it can be confusing. Let's say that you decided that the word that you really wanted to come up on the first page results for was need clean carpets. Let's say that those three words were it, need clean carpets. Then what you would do is you would create a page, a web page. It could be either on your site, it could be on your blog, it could be on a Web 2.0 site like Hub Pages or Squidoo. It could be anywhere, but you're going to create a web page, and on that web page, up in the title, you would need to have the words, need clean carpets. It'd have to be in the title on that page, and then you'd also be advised to put it peppered around a few other spots on that page, because if a person's looking for something, they expect when they get to the page for the page to have the very words on it that they've searched for, and Google expects that as well. Now, don't overdo this. There's also this thing called keyword stuffing, where people would try to put in like 100 repetitions of the keyword phrase, hoping that that would really make them, you know, be found in the search engines, and Google and the other search engines see that as a type of spamming, so you don't want to do that. So pepper it around on the page, maybe, you know, 3 to 6 times here and there, and then that means that basically your page is ready for that kind of traffic. Now, then what you have to do is you have to get other pages or other people who have pages to link to your page. And when they link to your page, the text in the hyperlink needs to be need clean carpets. Literally what a visitor would click on somebody else's site that would take them to your page, the clickable text needs to be the keyword phrase that you're trying to optimize for. So there you have it. If you've got a page that has need clean carpets, and if you have people linking to you, or you've set up pages that link to that page, and the links say need clean carpets, then everything is telling Google and the other search engines that this page must be for people who are searching for need clean carpets. That's the whole strategy there. So to answer the question is, do I need to do this 50 times? Do I need to do this for 50 keyword phrases? Well, if you've got the time, yes. But I would recommend that you just start with one and do that a little bit until you start getting some search results. You know, start showing up under those kinds of search phrases. Then do it with the second keyword phrase, and then the third. And usually 8 to 10 is going to be enough, because you should be able to get enough traffic from the 8 to 10 keyword phrases that are the primary things that you think people are typing in that are related to your site. So that was the short answer.
No, that was a very short answer, Dan. No, that was good. Well, do you have the questions in front of you, Dan?
I do.
Yeah, why don't you, because you've already kind of covered some of the stuff, so why don't you read the question that you'll answer, because, you know, you've kind of already answered some of the questions.
Okay.
And so pick the one next, read it, and go ahead and answer that for Heather, and hopefully everyone that's listening is seeing the applicability of this to their own business.
Okay. The question number two that Heather asked was, can I repeat certain words and have different word combinations? For instance, our business comes up a different ranking with various combinations and versions of our keywords. An example would be Wasilla carpet cleaning as compared to carpet cleaning Wasilla, or Wasilla carpet cleaner, or Wasilla carpet cleaners. I had all those as keywords and many, many more. Recently, I just simplified our keywords to see if that would be better for our website. I checked the view source on most of our competition's websites that ranked higher, and they had way less keywords. Okay. The question, though, was, can I repeat certain words and have different word combinations? The short answer is yes. So, when she asked, what's the difference between Wasilla carpet cleaning and carpet cleaning Wasilla, well, you know what? Those are two completely different keyword phrases. Even though the three words that are within the phrase are the same, they're in a different order, and so, therefore, they are different. That means that if you wanted to optimize your site to come up under Wasilla carpet cleaning, you'd need to set up a page that had Wasilla carpet cleaning on it, and you'd need to have links coming to that page that had Wasilla carpet cleaning in the link. If you wanted to do the other one, which is carpet cleaning Wasilla, then you would be best advised to set up a page that had carpet cleaning Wasilla on it and then had links coming to it. So you can see where this can get to be a lot of work if you have too many keywords or too many keyword phrases. So you want to do it on your top, you know, 8 to 10, and that would be it. Now, the practicality of this, or my recommendation, is that if it's just a reordering of the words, don't pick out 8 keyword phrases that is just all the same words reordered, because then you're just kind of you're playing in a sandbox that's a little too small. You want to do these other orders of the words, maybe as you know, down the road a little bit. I would probably optimize first for like Wasilla carpet cleaning, and then maybe 8 others that are quite different from that. And then once I had that all done, then I might come back later if I had time to do carpet cleaning Wasilla, because they're so close that it just isn't going to be worth your effort. Now, let me see. There was something. Oh, yeah. She said something about competition's websites. It's really important to go out and take a look at your competition. And here's what I mean by competition. If there's another business around the corner from you that you consider your competition, go and see if they're pulling up under the keyword terms that you want to go for. If they're not pulling up, then forget about it. They're not competition online. And that's what we mean by competition. You want to look at the other companies that are in your same type business that are higher in the ranks on the search engines under the keywords that you're interested in. Just because they're around the corner from you and that you consider them competition doesn't mean a darn thing if they're not in the search engine rankings. I mean, as far as what we're talking about here. So once you find the companies that indeed are on the first page results at Google under a keyword phrase that you just really want, then you should go and look at all of those companies' sites. There's only going to be 10 of them, so it's not like a big deal. You can do this in 15 minutes. You just click each search result on the page, go over and take a look at their site. If you want to see what keywords that they're probably optimized for, you can go up in your browser and look around. You'll find a button up there someplace that'll say View Source. And that'll let you see the code that created that page. And up at the very top, you'll actually, if you look around a little bit, you'll see that their keywords will be listed there. They may not be sometimes you know, businesses or programmers don't put them in there, but I'd say probably 70% of the time they will be there. But here's the only precaution. Did they just throw those in there just for the heck of it? Or maybe it was just the programmer that did it just to, you know, I'm just doing this for a client and I'm just going to throw in some keywords and whatever. Or was it something that they really thought about? You know, you don't really have any way of knowing. So my recommendation is that if you do look at your competition site and if you do pull the source code and look up at the top for the keywords, those are just clues. It may give you some other ideas or some keywords that you might think about, and it may give you, you know, some idea of what your competition is thinking about, but it's not like a done deal. It's not like, you know, I know exactly what they're doing now. You really don't. So I think that perhaps Heather may be putting a little bit too much attention on that. I would look at your competition more so as to how their page is presented to the visitor. You know, are they doing some things over there that you know, gosh, I like the way their buttons are located. It's very obvious what they want a visitor to do. Ah, look, they have a consumer awareness guide that you can download, or they have a newsletter that you can sign up, or I just think the site looks professional. I mean, look at all the stuff, because it's more than just becoming ranked high in the search engines that counts. Once a person arrives at your page, it's does the page do the trick? Does the page get the customer to contact you in some way? And so that's just as important as being ranked high in the search engine. So that's why it's important to look at your competition. And that's it for that one.
All right. Well, let's go on to the next one then.
I like
hearing you read. I think it's kind of like awesome, and I don't have to do anything here except sit and take notes and learn stuff. So I hope everyone is like has a pen and paper there, and you're actually becoming seriously. I mean, there's like people that charge big dollars to actually learn this stuff and charge other people to do things that you can do all this stuff if you know how to do it yourself or get it delegated really inexpensively. And anyway, that's why Dan's on the call. So take full advantage of this and make sure you have a question ready when we're done going through these ones.
Oh, and by the way, you reminded me of something. There's also people that charge pretty good money to do what's called search engine optimization of your website. And it's important for you to know a little bit about that topic before you go and just pay somebody to do it, because it unfortunately happens to be one of those areas where you can really get taken for some money fast, and the work that's done may have absolutely no benefit to you whatsoever.
Well, are you trying to secretly hint something here, Dan, from a recent episode that happened to me?
Yep, I know Joe had some challenges with that.
Let me mention everything for the benefit of the listeners. And me and Dan are working on a lot of things right now to actually, because after I recently went through a situation where I paid $70,000 for an enormous amount of web development, from search engine optimization to design to all kinds of stuff. And when it was all said and done, it had not generated a single sale. Now, a lot of things were changed, a lot of things looked different, all kinds of stuff, but none of it resulted in a sale. And, you know, I've got a pretty good sized company, and, you know, things that are delegated out that I didn't delegate properly, and I didn't inspect what I expect until it snuck up with me, and I realized, huh, we didn't make any money with this initiative here. And, you know, most people, for one, couldn't afford a $70,000 hit. And my pain is your gain, because now knowing that, you know, my approach is instead of like going, oh my God, I can't believe this, you know, I say, okay, well, what was the lesson here? The lesson was I wasn't paying attention, for one, and I teach, you know, pay attention and track and stuff, and I wasn't in that area. I do in a lot of other areas, but that particular area didn't get done. And secondly, in spite of how much I know about marketing, does not translate always into, you know, online. So in spite of the fact that I have access to, speak at, know, and work with some of the top internet marketers in the world, I still ended up making a really bad decision. And because of that, I said, you know, Dan, if this can happen to me, it is happening at a much deeper level with not only tons of business owners, but our own existing clients. And so what can we teach them? What can we do and give them a basic understanding of this? Because, you know, here, the downside is a lot of times when we talk about this Internet stuff, you know, we have people that they just go to sleep or they don't want to hear about it or they don't think it's applicable and they'd rather talk about anything other than this sort of stuff. But I also realize that, you know, if this sort of stuff could happen to me, and this is, a new world that we live in. I mean, you know, my buddy John Carlton recently quit publishing his newsletter and instead drove everyone to his blog. And, you know, when we were talking to him, I was like, well, what are the results? He's like, 500% higher profits in the way that I've driven it. And John said, some very interesting words. He's like, it's a new world, man. He goes, people that want to hold on to the old way of doing stuff, they're just, not that you have to do it, but you're just going to miss out on a lot of money. And so in a lot of ways, that's kind of the approach that I'm taking here with our clients. You know, there's a lot of other conversations for many people that are listening to this call in day that are not technology related that they would rather discuss. I just think this is a very relevant, important, critical topic right now, and I think this is the best sort of value that we could give to people is this sort of stuff. So I'll quit babbling, Dan. Please continue.
Okay, so let me give you some tips on how not to get took. And this is kind of like, we'll call it SEO or Search Engine Optimization 101. And so this is going to be real simple. But when you have your site optimized, you can do this yourself. This is easy stuff. And anyone that offers to do it for you, they're going to explain to you how difficult it is. So just listen to them and everything. But at the end of the day, this is really all that needs to be done. Optimizing a page is, here's how you do it. You pull up a web page that's yours, okay? And there's a few parts that need to kind of match up. It's almost like dressing your kids for school. You know, you want to make sure, the socks match and they have hat on and the right coat for the weather and stuff. It's just a couple of things and then they're out the door and everything's good. But, if you put the hat on backwards and you got a yellow sock and a green sock and they got a big coat on and it's a hot day, it just doesn't work. So that's kind of what it's like. It's not any harder than dressing a kid. So here's what you have to do. The hat on the web page is really your title. And if you look really close, right up at the top of any web page, and I'm not talking on the actual page part, I'm talking about up in the title bar. You know how you have your browser and right at the very top, believe it or not, there are some words up there that say something about your site. And what you need to do is go to your website, maybe start at the home page, and look up in the very top of the browser, not on the web page, and you're going to see some words there. If it says something like home page, you're not optimized. If it says something like, welcome to my site, you're not optimized. What it needs to say is something about what your business is, and it needs to have the primary keywords that you're focusing on. And if this is your homepage, it should just be the very core essence of what you do should be up in that title bar. You might include the name of your business, but it could say something like what we were talking about earlier, Wasilla Carpet Cleaning, and then after that, you would put in a keyword phrase that you were optimizing for. So we're talking about a sentence, maybe from 8 to 10 words that is the absolute most important sentence on your entire web page. And it doesn't even occur on the page. It occurs up in the title bar, which is the top of your browser. So your next question is like, well, okay, Dan, I understand what you're saying. I need to have a really good, phrase up there, name of my business and my primary keyword. But how do I get it up there? Well, in the code of your site, and whoever's developing your site would very readily be able to change this, they would put that in a little area that's called the title area. It actually says title. You can pull source on any website right up at the top. If you look around a little bit, you'll see it'll say title. And right after the title, that's where you're going to put it. That's the absolute most important part of your website. And so you want to make sure that every page in your site has a perfect title that matches with that page. one of the worst mistakes is to put the same title for every page. And don't be surprised if you go to your website and find out that's the way it is. A lot of times programmers, they're just in a hurry, and they'll just use the same template for every page, and then that means the title's the same. Nothing could be worse, because that's telling Google that you've got 10 pages on your site, but all 10 of them are exactly the same. And that you don't want. And you're not optimized for different keywords. You're optimized only for just the one that happens to be in that phrase. So pay some attention to the title and get that right. The second thing you need to think about, and there's only three, the second thing you need to think about is on the actual page, usually at the top somewhere there's some big fat letters. It's kind of like your main title or subject line, your headline, so to speak. That is usually enclosed in a little tag, which is called an H tag. And don't worry about the technical part of it, but just tell your programmer that you want the main H tag on your page to be your primary keyword or keyword phrases. In fact, it's good to just match up whatever you had up in the title. You might vary it just a little bit, you know, just switch the words around a little bit, but by and large, the title and that headline that's in the H tag should pretty much be saying the same thing. Again, we're talking about matching up. We don't want to have different color socks on. You don't want to have your title saying that this is, the best carpet cleaning site, but the headline's talking about, we clean, grout out of tiles. That's mismatched socks, all right? It's got to be all matched up. So title tag and header tag. Now, there's only one thing left, and those are the links. The links that are on your site, most of them link to internal pages. A lot of people call them the navigation links. And they might run down the left side of your page, or maybe they're across the top, and you may have some down in the footer as well. But these are the links that when a visitor comes, if he wants to go dig down internally into other pages in your site, he's clicking on those links. Well, the names of those links are critically important. And so what you want to do is to make sure that the clickable text link matches up with the page that they're going to. If the link said, remove wine stains from carpet or remove wine stains, something like that, then when a person clicks on that and goes to a page, you want to make sure that in the title and the headline that it also says remove wine page from carpet. In other words, you see that the link matches the title and the title matches the header. Again, it's like dressing a kid to go out, go to school or something. You want everything working together and matching up. This is so basic and simple, and here's why it's so important. The first person that you have to make happy with your site are the search engine robots, and they are not people. So when they come over to your site, the first thing they look at is your title, and they go, oh, says it's about carpet cleaning. Okay, let me double check. I'm going to go look at the header, the headline on the page, and see if it's still talking about carpet cleaning. Aha, it does. Okay, that's pretty darn good. This site, this page at least, must be about carpet cleaning. But I'm going to check another page. So I'm going to go over to the nav links, and it says here how to get wine out of carpet. So the robot clicks on that link and goes to the next page. Well, is that page talking about wine and carpet? Not sure. So what do? They look at the title. They look at the headline. If it's talking about getting wine out of carpet, then that robot says, ah, it's confirmed. The link said it was about wine and carpet. The title, it all just has to match up. Now, when people go to a search engine and type in, how do I get wine out of carpet, Google says, no problem. I've been over to this guy's site, and the links are lined up, the title's lined up, and the headline's lined up. This is definitely a page about getting wine out of carpet, so I'm going to deliver your site to this searcher, and I'm going to put you on the front page of my Google search results because you've got everything all lined up. So maybe that's a long, drawn-out explanation, but it is that simple. So when you're working with a programmer, you just make sure that he's got your title tags and your headline and your links all coordinated, and then you're okay. Now, that's half the story. There's still one other half that you've got to deal with, and this won't take much explanation because this is mostly what my report is about. Everything that I just told you is what's called on page. optimization. We were doing things that are right on our page. We can control it because we can either do it ourselves or get a programmer to change the stuff however we want it. That's half of the SEO, search engine optimization, game. The other half is off-page stuff that you need to do. But you already know that. The off-page stuff has to do with one thing, links pointing to your site. So you just need to either get people that you know who have web pages or pages you've set up on Web 2.0 locations like Squidoo or Hub Pages, pages or articles you've written and posted in directories. You need to make sure that that you include links from these external sites that point back to your page, and make sure that the text in those links matches with the page that they're going to land on. So if you've got your own page stuff all coordinated and you've got some links coming in from some external sites and the text in those links is coordinated, you've got a home run. Then it's just a matter of how many do I need to move up the ranks of the search engine. If your competitor has 20 links coming into their Get Wine Off the Carpet page and you have 19 links, the competitor will be on top of you because they have more links coming in. It's all kind of a links game. Now, there are other factors, but that's one of the biggest. And so that's it. That's search engine optimization in a nutshell. And with that, you can either do it yourself or you can get a programmer to do it for you.
Wonderful. Okay, Lisa, do you have any questions or comments about any of this stuff? And she might be on mute because I know she had to actually call.
I muted it. My question is, do you really need 19 or 20 links? And is it really important to be number one on the rankings? Because good. As long as you're on the main first page, that's the goal, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. Your goal needs only be to be on the front page. That's what I would shoot for rather than just driving yourself nuts trying to be number one. So make it your goal just to get on the first page of results. And make sure you check all the search engines. Check, like if you're optimizing or trying to move up the ranks for a particular keyword phrase, check Google, check Yahoo, and check MSN Live. And you'll notice that you may get listed faster over at Yahoo, and it may take a little longer on Google. Don't worry about it, but you can kind of keep tabs on it. So that's important. And then the other part of your question is, number of links. Do you really need 20? There is a way to figure it all out. There's a little tool that you can get. I don't have the link, handy, or don't know it by memory. But here's the bottom line. To get on the first page of local results, you generally don't need many links at all. Sometimes just two or three links coming into your site is going to be all you need. And the reason is because your competition has no links, or they have links that aren't correct. In other words, maybe it's an image link or it's a link that doesn't have any keywords in it. How can Google give a link any value if they don't even know what the link's about? And they certainly can't tell if it's an image link. And you know what I mean by an image link. You go over to a website, and instead of it having a word that you click on, it's got this image. Well, guess what? The Google spider can't see images. It can only see text. So those image links don't do you a lot of good. Text links will do you a lot of good. So I would say as a rule of thumb that you can probably get on the first page of most search results with 10 links coming into a page or less. The only exception is going to be if you're in certain very competitive areas. And again, real estate does happen to be one of them, and there are certainly some others, but that's really what it is. If there's anybody on the call that, gets several links coming in and they've got everything all set up and you're still not getting first page results, drop Lisa or Joe a note, and I'll send over. There's a simple little tool that you can install on a Firefox browser that will allow you to actually see how many links your competitors have coming into their site. And with that knowledge, then you know exactly what you need to beat.
Okay.
Okay, we got one more question from Heather.
All right, let's go, man. This is like this is a call from Heather today. And operator, do you have any questions, by the way? Are there people on hold?
Yes, there's a few questions waiting.
Okay, so let's answer this one quickly then, because now we do have questions coming in, Dan.
Good. Okay, the last one is I'm also curious about the importance of submitting a sitemap to Google Analytics. Our sitemap for our website is not being accepted by the Google Analytics because Google says it's not formatted correctly.
Well, explain Google Analytics and then...
Okay. Two things here you need to know about, sitemaps and Google Analytics. Google allows you, or actually gives you a free service that is worth gold, and it's basically a glorified hit counter that will tell you a lot more than just traffic. It'll tell you everything you want to know about your traffic, and it's called Google Analytics. To get it, just go to Google and do a search for Google Analytics, and that will give you a link over to sign up for it. You just give them your name and email. You'll get an account. You guys should already have a Google account, but get a Google account, and then they will ask you a few questions like, you know, what's your web address and some stuff like that. You'll click a button, and it'll generate a little snippet of code that you or your web developer can stick at the bottom of every single page within your website. And also on thank you pages, you know how when somebody subscribes to your autoresponder or your newsletter, as soon as they subscribe, they get a thank you page. Make sure you put it there as well. Well, anyway, this little snippet of code will keep track of all of the visitors that come to all of your web pages and give you just incredible statistics that you can glance at, and it'll give you a good idea about what's working and what's not working on your site. So that's the real quick thing about Google Analytics. But the question that Heather asked more specifically was, I'm having a problem with my sitemap. There are two kinds of sitemaps. One is, you know how you go to a website, you kind of look around, you can't find what you're looking for, and you say, well, maybe I better check out the sitemap, and then usually you look down in the footer someplace, you'll click a link and it'll take you to the sitemap. And really all it is just kind of an outline of every page on that website. It's really done by the site owner to help visitors be aware of all the various pages that are on the site. That's your visitor sitemap. But what Heather's asking about is this other sitemap that's only important to Google and certain robots that will spider your site. There is a special format that it has to be in, and the way it works is this is not something humans see. It's on your server, and it serves the same purpose. It tells that spider when it gets over there, it says, okay, spider, I've got 10 pages. There's one over here, one over there, one over here, one over there, and one over there. This little map here I'm going to show you is going to, like, give you, you know, a beeline over to all of these pages to make sure that you spider them and put them in Google. So it's a private little sitemap that's done in what's called XML that's just for the search engines. In order to create one of these things, you can go to Google and just do a search for something like... how to create a Google sitemap, or free Google sitemap creator. Do some searches like that, and you'll come up with many, many results. There is one that I found. I'll share it with you, and you can try that one out. It's at no www here. You just go straight to sitemap.xmlecho. .org/sitemap. Okay? That one I found on a quick Google search, and that will let you, for free, create a sitemap. Once you create this sitemap, then you go into your Google account, which is what Heather did, and you let them know where your sitemap is. It's something that has to be placed on your server. Your programmer or developer will have to do it for you. And then you let them know where it is. They go over and check it out. And what happened to Heather is hers was there, but it was not formatted correctly. So there's probably some kind of an error in creating it. I don't know how she created it. So have one made by a system that makes them perfect. Submit it to Google within the admin area that they give you, and then they'll check it and make sure. So this all sounds a little complicated, and believe me, don't even worry about your sitemap if you don't have one. You don't have to have this. Because Heather has it, she's trying to work on it, I'm trying to help her correct, you know, the formatting problem. But if you don't have one, believe me, don't worry about it, you don't need it. If you do all this other stuff I have in the report, the pages that are important to you are going to be found by Google without a sitemap. So this is an extra thing that you could skip if you'd like to.
Okay, very good, very good. Thank you. Okay, Lisa, any comments, questions before we open it up for more Q&A?
Nope, let's take a question.
Okay. Operator, let's have the first question, please. Thank you, Dan, for answering all that stuff.
Oh, sure.
The first question comes from Bill.
Hello, Bill.
Hello, Joe. How are you doing today?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Very well. Hello, Dan. Thanks for your expertise.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure.
So anyway, basically my question is this. Is there a way to get better rankings than the big companies like Yellow Book, Service Magic, or Yellow Pages, or even like Ethical Services, when you're doing something with the local market? Because what I found is I'm doing pretty well with becoming first or second or third, but sometimes I see that those companies that are advertising to sell to carpet cleaners or house cleaners come up before me.
Yep. Yep. Well, again, there are a few factors that Google looks at, and it's going to be a challenge to beat a big entity like Yellow Pages, because think about how many businesses link to them. You know, it's going to be in the millions. So are you ever going to be able to get a million people to link to your site and have more link love than them? Probably not. Other factors have to do with age. How long has Yellow Pages had a site up? It could be for, you know, the last, you know, 8 or 10 years, and maybe your site's been up only 2 years, and Google gives more authority to a site that's been around, you know, a while. However, there are some things that you can do that might even be better than being higher than Yellow Pages. And don't think that it's all about being the highest on the page. What's most important is just getting on the front page, page one. But what's really important is, what does it say? You know, somebody that's clicked on Yellow Pages a few times and it never gave them the kind of results they want, you know, they start saying, it's just Yellow Pages again. And I'm going to look on down the list here and see if I can find what I'm really looking for. Because think about what Yellow Pages does. You go to Google and you do a search, and what comes up? Yellow Pages. You click on Yellow Pages, and what do? A lot of times they ask you to do another search. It's like a search leading to a search, and it's like people just want to go straight to what they want. Now, and it's not always exactly in that order, but sometimes it is. So Yellow Pages doesn't actually provide the solution for every single searcher. So what's really key is the message that your little listing says. Nothing could be more important than that. And let me tell you what. Do you know where... You know how when you do a search result and you look on there and the actual words that people click to come to your site, do you know where the search engines get those words? From your title tag. Remember when I was talking about SEO search optimization and I was talking about how important the title tag is? It's like the hat that's on top of your website. Those are the words that Google then puts as the first words in your listing and bolds them and hyperlinks them. So what does that tell you? That tells you that your title tag on each web page has such a huge, important impact on your search results, because really you need to write that title as if it's a call to action. It could say, you know, for the best carpet cleaning in Tucson, you know, that's literally like you've written a headline for your ad that's going to show up on the Google search results page. So I would look through the search results page on the page that you're talking about, the one that has Yellow Pages, and what you want to try to do is, if you're on that page, you try to write a more compelling title than any of the other 10 people that are on that page. And if you can do that, you'll win the click, even if you're not number one. And I've got to tell you, of all the things I've told you today, that is absolutely one of the greatest secrets that I could share with you is working on your title tags and the importance of that. Now, one other thing. You can get listed sometimes on these search results pages more than once. Maybe your blog gets there, and your website, and your hub pages, and maybe a YouTube video. Sometimes you might not be number one, but you might have listing number 6 and number 10. And that can be very powerful as well. The quickest way to get on a search results page of any way I know these days is to do a YouTube video. If you do a YouTube video, or even a video that's posted to one of the other video sharing sites. YouTube is particularly good. But if you do a YouTube video and make sure that the title of the video and the tags that you associate with that video when you go to post it are the keywords that you're going for, you could end up there tomorrow. Okay, so that is a very quick way to do it. The second quickest way I know is to get a blog going and do a lot of posts that are tagged and associated with those particular keywords. And over time, that blog can end up getting on that first page as well. So those are some ideas that may help you with that question.
Did that answer your question, Bill?
It does. I just want to say that, you know, I'm very impressed with my results with not much time invested. So thank you very much.
That's good to know. And that's good for everyone to think about. Even though I tell you a ton of stuff, you don't have to do it all. If you just do 10% of what I'm talking about, you're going to be doing probably 10% more than all your competition's doing, and that's going to be enough to put you in some very, very enviable spots.
Awesome. Thank you, Bill. Thanks for the question, and, of course, thanks, Dan. We're going to just have a special call-in day just for Dan from now on.
Nope.
Because I don't even have to do anything here. I just kind of sit and listen. Operator, what's the next question?
Next question comes from Richard.
Hello, Richard.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good. Over here committing the unpardonable sin of working while I hold the cell phone with my shoulder and listen to you guys. And I've been running out to the van every 5 minutes to write down stuff. I'm done with the job, just waiting for it to dry. So.
Well, you must have a good level of concentration, because multitasking is definitely a difficult thing to do and typically doesn't work for most people.
This is the first time I've had to do this, but I was on the call yesterday, and I just got tied up late today and didn't want to miss the call today. So.
Okay, well, and by the way, and if there's some parts of it you miss, this is recorded and it will be posted on Piranha Central, and since you are a coaching member, you will have access to all that stuff. So.
Okay.
But go ahead. What's your question?
I guess the question I had, two things. First, I'll just say I echo what the last guy said. This stuff works. Even with I haven't gotten all 10 things done, but I've done blog posts. I'm making a list right now of all the other stuff I need to get done, but I am on my first page in my area on Google.
Awesome.
With the search terms that I've been putting in.
Yeah, you know what I love about hearing that, too, is it totally validates what it is we give our members. So, you know, when people say that this stuff doesn't work, it's simply only it doesn't work if you don't do it.
Hey, let me give you a hot tip. If you do get listed as number one on Google, if you ever get to number one, there's nothing better than on all of your materials and flyers and stuff you send out. You put things like ranked number one carpet cleaner by Google. You know, on Google or whatever, it's amazing what you can do. And even if you don't end up number one, you know,
right.
ranked in the top five of carpet cleaners on Google, you know,
yeah.
it's a powerful thing. And people think that Google, they don't know how Google does this stuff. People don't think through, but they think that somehow Google presents the absolute best choices.
Right.
Almost like they've recommended you. So your question.
My question had to do with Ning. Have you heard of them?
Yes, I have.
I was just reading about them in Fast Company yesterday and was wondering, is that, I haven't even been to the site yet to really check it out,
yep.
But is that something that would work well for us as far as setting up pages and linking back to our site?
Definitely it would. Okay. And here, I'll tell you real quick what Ning is. Ning lets you set up a little, what's called a social network, which is really just a place where you can invite your friends and buddies over, or even your customers over,
yeah.
And they can kind of talk about this, that, and everything else. You can go over to Ning, and that's Ning.com, and read more about it. But the unique thing about it is this: let's say that you set up a Ning community for your local Little League baseball team, where all of the parents and whatever could get together and they could chit-chat about, the practice and the baseball and the kids and all of that. Well, what Ning lets you do is to create sub-communities, meaning that maybe one of the parents that's involved in the Little League baseball thing, you know, has a Girl Scout, group. And they could set that all up, and that might end up being, 10 or 15 parents. And then maybe one of those has a you know, a knitting club, and they set up a little knitting thing, and it could be you know 5 or 10 people to get together. Well, whoever set up the first one up at the top actually has some access out to all of the people that are in their own knitting community, plus these sub communities that start to build out underneath it. So in a way, I mean, you know, I started thinking, you know, it's almost like building a downline in a network marketing company. In a way, it's as if though your connections reach out to other connections and other connections, but it does it in this kind of interesting community fashion, and it will allow you as a business owner to be able to start one of these things, and over time it can grow and connect you to many people within your community. Then you just need to read through their rules and their helps and their tutorials to understand exactly how the system works so that you can get your message out about what it is that you do as a business in a way that doesn't seem like you're trying to sell or market to them. That's the real trick in these communities. You just need to have it so that people are aware of what you do. They realize you're connected within this community, so therefore they're likely to come to you because of that, not so much because you're pitching them within the community.
Cool.
So that's the answer. Yeah, if you've got time to do it, you know, do it. But before you start, read all the instructions and the tutorials and everything, and maybe look it around at a few other Ning communities to kind of get a feel for what some other people are doing, and then go at it.
Cool,
man. Thank you very much. Thanks for the question. Thanks, Dan.
Yeah.
All right, operator, what is the next brand spanking new question?
There's no questions at the moment, sir.
There's no questions?
I've got one I got to cover, though. You know, I've talked a lot about putting content out in various places, but there is a danger that you need to be very cognizant of, and that is what's called duplicate content. You can't take, let's say you wrote a little article that was like, you know, the 7 tips for, you know, having the cleanest carpets in town, and you went and posted that maybe at ezine.com, which is a directory that's a good place to post articles, and they'll let you link back over to your site. Well, you can't then take that exact article, maybe the article's 500 words long, you can't take those 500 words and then go post it on your blog, and then take those same 500 words and go set up a Squidoo lens page, and then take that same 500 and go put it on your website. You can't do that, and here's why. Google thinks you're trying to goose the system if you're doing that, and they don't want to ever serve up in their search results replicated content. Think how mad you would be as a searcher if you typed in something and Google gave you 10 results and every single result you clicked on took you to the same content just in a different place. You'd be thinking, gosh, this is an awful search engine. So there's a reason that Google does this. They do not want to serve up duplicate content. So what you have to do is this. In all of these various places where you're putting your content, you've got to make sure that it is different. And then the next question is always is like, okay, Dan, well, my gosh, I mean, how much different does it have to be in order not to get slapped with the duplicate content, hammer? And the general rule of thumb is it should be about 50% different, but you can probably get away as long as it's 25% different. You know, I'm not talking about any, you know, accurate, you know, measure here, but just in general, try to make sure that the content that you're posting in these different places is different. So here's what I would do. Let's say you had 20 tips that you could share with someone about how to, you know, pick a good carpet cleaner. I'd put 3 tips over here and 4 tips over there and, you know, 10 tips over there. You know, mix it up. And you could have one of the tips, you know, replicated, but not all, you know, not all of them. And as long as you mix it up, then you're going to be okay. And that's really, really important. So if you've got any content out there that's replicated, you need to go in and either edit it and make it different or just pull it down. Because if they catch you and accuse you of doing duplicate content, what they do is they put you in what's called the Google sandbox. And what that really means is that you're not going to show up in the search results, and it can be an eternity before you ever get out. And sometimes, if they catch you doing it, you know, quite a bit, they'll just kind of ban your whole site from the search results. But you don't want to do this. Be very careful about that.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay. Well, operator, do you have any more questions?
Yes, next question comes from Benjamin.
Okay. Hello? I didn't get the name exactly, operator. What was the name?
The name is Benjamin.
Benjamin, okay. Benjamin, are you there?
Yes, this is Benjamin from the most thorough in Orange County.
Wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm just arrived in my home office, and I have a question. Is the Piranha Marketing or Dan Hollings at some time be able to do all this for us?
Do it all for you? Probably not. I mean, we could for a fee. Dan, when he even takes on clients, which he's quit taking on clients, was $1,000 an hour with a minimum block of 3 hours. But he's not taking on clients right now. But, you know, one of the reasons that we're doing this, Benjamin, is to, for one, save you tremendous amounts of money by at least teaching you what to do. And, you know, I guess the way to answer his question then, because, you know, in an ideal world, I wish I could do all the stuff for everyone, but that's impossible, and most people wouldn't pay my fees for it, and nor would I recommend that. How would you recommend people going about getting this done? Because here's the way, you correct me if you think this is not accurate thinking on this, Dan. The way that I recommend that you look at this, Benjamin, is and this applies to everyone that's listening to us. First off, it's knowing the right things to do before doing things right. You know, you can get someone to set up a website and set it up, but if they don't really know what the hell the outcome is supposed to be and what it is they're doing, and it's not, you know, allowing you to reach your objective of generating business or doing whatever it is, if you have an educational site that's a client servicing section, or if it's a lead generation landing page, you know, I mean, there's various things you want to have done. My thinking is the first thing is to understand this enough to where if you were to go out and hire someone to help assist you with this, you know how to guide and direct them and understand it. That's step number one. You know, one of the step number two then is just to get it done. So you either, you know, do it yourself or you have someone help you, and almost everyone is going to do a combination of both. They're going to do some of the things themselves. When we did the coaching call yesterday, you know, we talked about recommending you literally go on Google, you sign up for an AdWord account, you go and set some of the things up simply to get yourself into it. You simply won't understand how to delegate certain things to people if you don't at least jump in the pool. I mean, how do you tell someone what it feels like to be up to your neck in a swimming pool if they've never been up to their neck in a swimming pool? I mean, you can talk about it, but until you actually do it, but that doesn't mean you need to stay in the pool. You can get someone else to do that for you, but there are certain things you need to do yourself. So I guess my question to you, Dan, is what route would you recommend people take? How much of this should they get to know and learn themselves versus at what point are they ready to get someone else to help them?
Got it. I think if you listen real closely to most of the comments I'm getting back from people that do this is how little they have to do before it has some effect. So don't think that just because I'm giving you all of this stuff, and it can start to sound like a lot, that you really have to do it all. You don't. So the first question is, well, okay, Dan, if I only need to do one thing, what would be that one thing that you would say do? And here's my answer. If you only do one thing, go over to blogger.com and set up a blog. It will take you 15 minutes. Okay, you will be up and running in 15 minutes, and that's it. And it'll be a nice-looking site, probably better than the one you have. Now, it won't have much content on it yet, but the neat thing about a blog is that it gets built over time. So then you just have to say either I or my wife or my spouse or my kids or my next-door neighbor or somebody that I find on Elance, I need to have somebody that understands what I do and is willing once a week to write from 2 to 4 paragraphs, maybe just tips about the type of service or product that I do. You just need it to be topical, that's all. And that would be all I would do. So you're looking at something that would take 15 minutes to set up, and then once a week you need to devote about 15 minutes to it. and that would have significant impact on you know, a lot of what you do. So that would be like the bare minimum first thing I would do with some options, you know, to outsource it to someone else. However, I will mention this. Joe and I are working on a number of things that can help in this area, and there are services that we'll make available down the road that do write articles, for example. You give them the long tail keywords or the keyword phrases that you're wanting to optimize for, and there are people that will actually write the articles. They might charge you, you know, $8 or $15 or what have you, and then they will actually, there are systems that will actually post them, you know, for you, and a lot of this can be automated. I wouldn't really encourage you to seek that out right now because I think it can be overkill. But and you can also end up spending, you know, way too much. Don't fall into traps where it's like, we'll submit, you know, 100 articles in 100 different directories for $19.95. Well, you know, everything that sounds too good to be true usually is, and you can just waste a lot of money. And if there's any temptation to do some of these things, always send a note in to Piranha Central, or Lisa or Joe or me, and ask first. There was a great question that came up on the message board just, you know, a couple of weeks ago about somebody had been exposed to this kind of a link exchange system that it's on the surface. It sounded like a great idea, but what they didn't realize is that even though it sounded like a good idea, it had a fatal flaw in it, and that is when you do that type of thing, Google considers it, you know, a link farm and will basically ban your site as a result of doing it. And so that I'm not talking, you know, in some mystery terms here, what had been proposed is, hey, maybe we can all get together and we'll just exchange links amongst each other and we'll put all the links on a single page and we'll just keep building that, and that will be links coming into our site. And that's the problem. When you put all of these links on a single page, Google comes over and they see 50 links all linking off to carpet cleaners or something, and they think, hey, this is some kind of a deal going on. And they don't like it. That's called a link farm, and you can get slammed. So anytime something seems too good to be true, pass it on over to us. That's what we're here for, and we'll let you know if it's a good idea or not a good idea. But the last part on that is, you know, really the same thing I already said. Just pick one thing that you can do and kind of get it set up so you understand what it is, like what Joe said, and then once you understand what it is, then hand it off to someone else that can actually maintain it. And a little goes a long way in local.
Yeah, so does that help, Benjamin?
Yes, it did. It did quite a bit there. Dan, the link farm that you're talking about is like the one that Bobby Brush was working on, no?
I'm not sure who it was. I took a look at it, and that one does run the risk of being considered a link farm, yes.
Yeah, it was a couple, it probably started about a month ago.
Yeah, here's the thing with those kinds of scenarios. They will work sometimes for quite a while. And that's because
right.
Google, you know, there's probably a million people that are attempting to do that. And Google, you know, just gradually, you know, plods along, and eventually they'll catch you. And when they do, you know, you're done for. So it's like, even though you may hear that, hey, it's working, believe me, it has a life. And here's the bottom line. You can't trick Google. So always put up quality content. Work the way the web works. You know, there's plenty of ways to get this stuff done without trying to, you know, skew the system or take advantage of the system. Just quality content and do things right will always win the day for the long haul.
Yes, I have been working quite a bit on the YouTube and Yahoo videos, and the only problem that I have is that I haven't received calls through those.
Do you have a call to action on them? I mean, as they're watching the video, does it say in the video, you know, what they should do?
Yes, my phone number is actually on the top of every video as the video plays, and it says call my number. You know, it tells them the number and the cities that we're in, and so on.
Okay, and is your video pulling up under keywords associated with your local area?
Oh yes, it did. Actually, I just did a test right now, and I come up multiple times in many cases under a key phrase that contains 4 or 5 words in it. You know.
Okay. Okay, and but, and that's for a local search. Does it include like your city or something in it?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
That's really good. Well, you know, it's like you've got your, it's like going fishing. You know, just because you drop bait in the water doesn't mean the fish are going to bite, but your bait's there. And
right.
And anybody that searches for that keyword, you don't have to worry that they are going to be exposed to what you have. And you might experiment with things. How long is the video?
The videos are different lengths. Some of them are a minute, some are a minute and 10 seconds, probably
good.
no more than a minute and a half. One thing that I do want to mention about the videos, they have helped me a lot in closing or when I go and do inspections or audits.
Mm-hmm.
I actually bring my laptop and I start showing the videos
okay.
to people, and they just, you know, they like it.
Yeah.
You know what? I want to mention something to that, Benjamin, because, you know, here's the thing, too. See, a lot of people, when they just get a lot of traction with viewership or people visiting a website, you know, they say, well, it's not working because I'm not getting a job. But just like you said, you know, well, you're using it to assist closing sales. You're using it to build credibility. You're using it to, you know, educate people and show professionalism. And so I would say that is working for you. So when someone says, well, it's not working, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if you can increase your conversion rate because you have a YouTube video and you're showing that to someone and they're like, ah, or you're getting ready to, you know, go to a job and you send them an email saying, hey, before we show up, you know, check out this video so you have a better understanding of the company. I mean, it may not be closing a cold prospect that stumbled across you on the internet, but if it allows you to enhance or close or further deepen the existing relationship with a prospect or a customer, you know, to me that's working. So
also sometimes
right.
you don't know if something's working unless you specifically set up some way to track it. In other words, if you have a phone number in that video, if it's the same phone number you've got on your business card and every other place, it's really hard to know whether it's working or not, you know. So sometimes if you have the system available, you can set up a special phone number or a special email or a special web link that you put in some of your marketing you know, campaigns or your videos so that you can track it. But again, folks, I mean, sometimes you can get too detailed in all the tracking and monitoring and all of that. When it comes to local, it's just you want to be exposed in as many ways as you can. And I'll also promise you this. Anything that you're doing today, you can rest assured that the results will just build as time goes on, because more and more and more people are using search and mobile search in order to find local you know, businesses. And what you're doing today is going to stay there forever. It's not like the Yellow Pages where you have to keep paying them every year. You're going to be there for a long time, and you're going to get that long-term link love that's hard to get. I answered a question earlier, and I told you that if you've had a site up or if you've had videos up and all this stuff and it's been up for, like, years and years, that has much more value than a site that just gets put up, you know, last month. So, you know, 5 years from now or even 2 years from now, when your competition finally starts to wake up and put things up on the web in the right way, you're still going to win because now you've got, like, seniority. You've been around. You've got maturity in your links and everything, and Google gives that value.
Yeah, very good, very good. Well, there you go. Does that help, Benjamin?
Yes, it did. What I meant by it has not been helping, it was like most of, I do people X time where have they seen my name and phone number, and basically I haven't noticed somebody saying, oh, I found a video online and I saw it, and then from there I called you.
Got it.
You know,
got it.
I have used the videos in several different ways that have helped me to closing and basically just help me in general with the business, you know.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, people get a little too businessy in what they put out on the web. The web is a very kind of loose and funny and kind of a social area. It's not a marketing media like, you know, you'd advertise on a billboard or even in a newspaper. Do things that are a little off. In other words, you know, the 10 worst you know, carpeting, you know, catastrophes, or I mean, do stuff that catches people's attention. And often people want to see the worst and the funniest and hilarious, and you can play around with that. I mean, if it's your nature and you're comfortable with that, play around with that, because sometimes those things will get more traction than the serious, you know, oh, we are the best, we get right into the corners, all the grit and the dust mites and everything. It's just a little too serious. It's the worst disaster, you know, carpet cleaning disaster, you know, and just, you know, maybe it'd be some funny story about some real situation that happened and you came in there and saved the day. I mean, you just don't think always serious when you do stuff on the web.
All right, Dan. Well, thank you very much, Dan and Joe.
You are welcome. Thank you, Benjamin.
All right.
Okay, operator, do you have any other questions?
Yes, next question comes from Gabrielle.
Gabrielle.
Hi there.
Is this with Free Unflood?
Yes, it is.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Wonderful.
Yes, trying to take this all in. My question for Dan is, after listening to the call yesterday, I did a search for ourselves on Google, and the local businesses that came up, I haven't registered yet, so the name that they're advertising for our business, I would like to change. So I just was wondering, like, where do they pull that info from, and how do I go about correcting it?
Okay, I'd have to actually see, you know, where it's at. Google doesn't generally list your business unless you input it there. They're probably pulling it from someplace else. I mean, either it's the telephone listing or maybe it's, I don't know where they're pulling it from. Can you tell? I mean,
I would think probably an old telephone listing.
An old telephone listing? Okay. If you send that over, you know, I could probably take a couple of clicks. I might be able to figure it out. But
okay.
But don't waste too much time on that. Just go ahead and set up all the correct stuff. Go in there and open up a Google account, business account from the link that's in the report. Set up a Yahoo, business account, and set up one at MSN, and just get those three up and running. What sometimes happens when you have bad information, not necessarily bad, just incorrect information, is if you just start putting a lot of the new current stuff, Google sees that as being new and more current, and they start putting that in the top, and ultimately it pushes the old stuff down where it ends up on page, 10,000 or something. Nobody ever finds it anyway. So that might be your quickest way. If you want to send it over, I could take a quick look and see if I could figure it out, but that may be hard.
Send that over to me, Gabrielle, and I'll forward it.
My other question, we kind of service two areas, and so what I'm wondering is, I did the same search for one town as the other, and we're only coming up in one.
Mm-hmm.
So, do they pull that from, our website, our physical address that's on there? Is that why we're only coming up in one area?
That's correct. And when you go set up your accounts at the various search engines, you're going to have to enter in your address, and then they're going to have an automated system that verifies that.
Okay.
So Google does it by having a robot call you on the phone, and they double-check everything. So that's it. But I've talked to a few people. I haven't actually tried this myself, but I've actually talked to a few people at some of Joe's events that said that they've had success in even opening up a post office box in this other area where you're at, where you'd like to be found at, and then using that address as a secondary business address. Sometimes it might even make sense to do a little bit of a variant on your name. So see, Google just doesn't want to list the same business twice. So you might, just kind of, create a subsidiary business, so to speak, and create a post office box, give it a name, and then submit that as a separate business. Because here's the challenge with local search. They will always deliver to the person searching the business that's the closest. Proximity wins the day. So if you're only like a half mile away from where this person is, when they're searching, the Google Maps is going to deliver the closest business. And if you're not even in an area, then you're going to have a problem. I know this a little bit firsthand because, I'm in Tucson, Arizona, but I don't live in the county. I live right across the county line. So if you go to do a search and you do, Internet Strategist, Tucson, Arizona, Unfortunately, they'll deliver up all this other goofy stuff, even though I'm the best match. And the reason is because they're not seeing me as being in Tucson, Arizona proper. I'm in the outskirts. So that can really be a challenge if your service area crosses over county line or any type of a city or state line. You may indeed have to set up a secondary address that you can use to submit to the search engines.
You have that. I have a physical address in one town, and my post office box is in that other town. So I just need to make sure I put both of those addresses.
Yep.
Okay.
Just treat it as if you have two different businesses, and you just happen to do similar services.
Okay.
And that's it. And by the way, don't think you got to do post office. A lot of you probably have a relative or something that would let you use their address. Just for that listing. So if you can figure out a way to do it without spending the extra money, so be it.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks, Gabriel. Okay, operator, we'll take one more question if we have any more.
There is no question at the moment.
Okay, what I'm going to do, thank you. Lisa, you're not allowed. You didn't call into the operator. You have to follow protocol here. What's the deal? Just because you get the host code and you run my company doesn't necessarily mean you're entitled to ask questions. Go ahead.
I'm just feeling neglected.
All right, go ahead.
My question, Dan, is this. With my rug cleaning site in San Diego, when I went through the report, I created an enormous checklist of things to adjust and tweak for my web developer. In fact, the list was a bit too long because I was very detailed and I got a lot of specifics.
Yep.
And I don't necessarily have a web team that is quick to implement or is cheap to implement.
Mm-hmm.
So the thought crossed my mind as I was looking at the Google tools to easily set up a website just
yep.
on my own if I wanted to develop one,
yep.
that perhaps I could come up with a site that was a troubleshooting tip site on Rust and offer some information and content and link it to my San Diego site.
That's a good idea.
Okay. Because then I could do that on my own, and I can just play around with it and have fun with it and not reconstruct something that's already up there, already has links to it, already comes up high on the rankings just because we've been up there for so long. And I don't have to take a beautiful site set up and tell them, hey, tear it all apart and rebuild it.
Absolutely. And pretty much that's what I recommend for most people is that I understand the challenges of having to deal with programmers and development companies and the time required and the cost. I understand that very well. And I do some programming and developing, so even though I'm not trained by that, I understand, the complexities. So, my recommendation is, forget it. I mean, I think most programmers would like to shoot me, but I just say forget it. Go. There's so many places you can go now and set up really nice sites where you can control it, and somebody mentioned it. I think it might have even been Heather in her question. She said, I noticed that when I went over to set up a blog, I don't know if it was WordPress.com or Blogger.com, I think they both do the same thing, but I noticed that they will let you actually just create web pages too. In other words, the blog software that you get for free we'll let you just set up web pages. It doesn't have to be a blog page. And actually, she's quite right. You could set up landing pages and web pages using your blog software that would function just as good as a website or any page on your website. And it's really, really easy. You can control the title tags. You can control virtually everything. And you don't need a programmer.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
Well, does that answer your question, Lisa?
It does.
Hey,
I like
you
that because I'm a control freak and I'd like to do it on my own.
No, it's good. And actually, like we discussed too, there's a lot to be said about learning something so you can make better decisions in hiring other people to assist you with it. One of the reasons that I recently spent so much money that went nowhere. It was a huge hit. I mean, I lost more money than a lot of our clients will net this year, in one fell swoop that generated nothing. And, one of the benefits, I think, is all of the things that I learn and bring to our Piranha members and all the mistakes that I learn that allow me to know what to bring to Piranha members and help them and stuff. And, you know, Benjamin's question of, like, can we hire you to do this? Just so everyone listening knows, in the last month and a half, I went to Yannick Silver's seminar on internet marketing, met with a lot of people there. Then I went to, you know, Gatherings of Titans in Boston. Then I spent a couple days with Ned Hollowell at his home, planning stuff. And then from there, I went to, Brad Smart. So I'm trying to do this off the top of my head. I've been to so many different cities. I went to Chicago for Brad Smart's seminar and met with Vic Conant, met with, you know, just a bunch of people while I was up there. Then I went to Frank Kern's event in Los Angeles the week after that. No, San Diego, actually. It wasn't Los Angeles. See, I lose track of my... And, you know, internet marketing. Now, in between all of this, you know, I'm meeting with people like Telman Knutson and Mike Hill and all of these amazing internet marketers who, you know, Telman's part of my 25K group. Dan is, of course, part of the group. And so we meet regularly about these things. And we're, you know, we're going to do our 25K meeting in June, the next one. And we're going to have, you know, one of the world's leading banner advertising guys there. Telman, who's one of the top list-building guys in the country there, Dan Hollins, of course. You know, I mean, we're immersed in all of this internet marketing technology. You know, I'm just a lot of stuff. Then came back to the event and, you know, went to Lifebook in between all of that with Lisa. And so, you know, I'm doing a tremendous amount of personal development stuff. And there's a benefit to that because, you know, you don't have to do as much of the research and stuff if I'm out there trying to find out what's working and what's not working and then share what I can with our members. And so one of our intentions here with Piranha is just go out and find what's working, what's not working, who are the best people, you know, do interviews with them and things like that. What I would like all of you to think about too, I'm going to be doing an interview with Dan, a Genius Network interview based on a lot of questions and feedback we've already gotten. But me and Dan are going to be doing a really big project in the future to help link the offline world with the online world and eliminate as much of the complexity and the cost and the energy drained and the confusion in the middle as much as we can for our clients, knowing that this is a very complex world. I mean, the internet, it's never ending. I mean, there's so many things you can do, and part of what you said earlier, Dan, which is really important for everyone to pay attention to is, you know, you don't have to do everything. You know, a lot of this is just throwing it out there, and whatever resonates with you, whatever you can, you know, make happen, do it. And a lot of this, I know, is a bandwidth issue with a lot of people. You know, sometimes you don't have the time, the energy to do it. But I would also say that if we were to sit the majority of our members down and say, how much time do you spend on the internet? Check an email, surfing the web, reading, you know, things that aren't all that useful to read, you know, screen sucking, we'd probably tally up 10, 20, 30, 40 hours a week, like for the average person. Some people are obsessed. You know, they're spending 100, 110 hours a week working and, you know, half that time glued to a BlackBerry or an internet screen or whatever. And so it's not that do you have the time. It's like, where are you spending your time out there? And so all of the things that Dan has laid out in his report, which I highly recommend you read, you know, if you haven't read it yet, you know, read it. Go to joepolish.com/Dan. Read it, study it, do that. You know, take any time you're going to spend in the next, you know, 7 days checking email, surfing the internet or whatever, and chisel out a couple of hours out of that time and don't check your email. Don't screen suck looking at things. Set up a blog. You know, position your company for local search. I mean, do that, and it'll get done. And last thing I'll say is, you know, in Strategic Coach that I went to last weekend, just got back from Strategic Coach, and then I did a day of consulting with John Butcher, who owns, you know, Lifebook. So if you want to check out lifebooklounge.com, it's pretty cool. We talked about procrastination, and Lisa was with me. We went to dinner with Dan Sullivan. We went to dinner with Brad Smart. I mean, we've been doing some incredible things, and I intend on bringing every elegant thing that I can as it fits in and sharing it with all of our members that are current active members and, most importantly, do something. I'm going to Necker Island next week with Richard Branson and some of the most amazing marketers in the world. I've organized the entire trip. You know, we'll be there for 5 days. Right from there, I go to All Things Digital, which is the top digital conference in the world. Bill Gates will be there on Tuesday night, and I'll be having dinner at the same place, in the same room with Bill Gates. And then the next night with Rupert Murdoch, Lisa's going to come to those dinners with me. I mean, we're at the cutting edge of this stuff. So, we're going to share whatever we can that's the best stuff. And the thing that I learned from Dan Sullivan over the weekend is procrastination. When does someone put something off? And I'm just going to go through this real quickly, but I want you to think about it. The reason Dan says that people procrastinate is because they haven't sold themselves on what it is they need to do. So, you haven't set up a website. You haven't, done the stuff that Dan's been talking about for the last, 90 minutes. And so he says, here's the reasons people procrastinate. Everything from cleaning out your closet to hiring an assistant to, spending time in your marketing to, doing the exercising is you don't know the difference. You don't understand the difference between best and worst. So people don't make a comparison of here's the worst case scenario if I don't do it. Here's the best case scenario. So people, the first reason people procrastinate is they don't know the difference between best and worst. The second is they don't know how to measure success. They have no criteria on how would they know if they're successful or not. The third reason is they don't know the division of labor. Who's actually going to do the stuff or who's going to help me. And then the fourth is they don't know the plan and the path. And so you haven't sold yourself if you don't understand the difference between the best and worst results of what's going to happen if you do it or don't do it. You don't know how to measure success. And a lot of times people just haven't thought about it. They're like, how would I know this is going to be successful? What are your goals? What do you want to see happen when it's done? Don't know the division of labor, so they haven't laid out who can help them with this or how they're going to get it done. And fourth, they don't know the plan and the path. And what we provide at Piranha is best we can is a plan and a path. If you need to get local search handled, just take that one small area of marketing, read Dan's report. That lays out an entire plan and a path. Understand what will happen if you actually do this. What would be a best-case scenario? What would be a worst-case scenario if you don't do it? Think about it. And what would make you happy? How would you measure success? And so the procrastination strategy to sell yourself is you understand the difference between best and worst. You know how to measure success. You know the division of labor. And you know the plan and path. And if you can apply that sort of thinking to any area of life where you're procrastinating on something and you're not doing it, you simply just need to sell yourself on why you should do it. And one of the ways to sell yourself is think about a situation where you're procrastinating. Think about the enormous emotion and energy that you apply towards thinking about it, but you haven't done it versus, in the layout, what are the best case scenarios if I do this? Think out a year. What would happen in a year's time if I actually set it up? And then think out a year's time, what is the worst case scenario if I don't do this? And then, think about who I need involved in this. What's the plan and the path? What do I need to do? And if you spend a little bit of time just simply thinking about that, you'll find that you won't procrastinate on important things. And other things, if there is no worst case scenario, then you don't have to do them. Some things you should procrastinate on. Procrastination is a great tool if you procrastinate on crap that won't make any difference whatsoever, like watching television or eating potato chips, sitting doing nothing except, thinking about all the things you should be doing. I mean, there's a lot of things that you spend time on that, provide no value, no energy, no money, no nothing. And so people certainly have the time. It's just them selling themselves on the best ways to use that time and what's going to produce them the results they want. So, Lisa, before we wrap up, anything you want to say?
Nope.
Dan?
No, I've enjoyed the call, and I'm just, if anybody has questions, shoot them over, and we'll try to help you.
Wonderful. So thank you, everybody. I'm going to open up the line. So since I did very little talking during this call except the typical Joe Polish ramblings that I do, if everyone could give Dan a big thank you for me, I appreciate it. Dan, I very much appreciate you taking the time, sharing your wisdom, and it's awesome stuff, so thanks. Okay, everyone, have a great evening. If everyone could, give a big, whatever to Dan, that would be nice.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
See, Dan, you don't deserve all those compliments, but I wanted you to at least feel good before we end the call.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great night. Bye-bye.